thing is beginning to shape up. But the point is, if we get this, you see, if we get this offer, if we get Yahya to agree with this proposition, then we can go back to the Russians and settle this. And we'll be in good graces with the Chinese because we've got done it with Yahya's concurrence. We'll have squared the circle. Then after we settle it, we put the bastards here to the torch of saying that we were playing this game on. I think we're going to pull it off. Well, they will lose East Pakistan. There's nothing to be done about it.
We all know that.
But the question is how they lose it.
And West Pakistan, they think they're going to lose it anyway, don't you think so?
Well, they may be so demented that, well, yes, by now they have to think.
For Christ's sake. Well, how will it be done then? It will be done through, they'll make an offer for a political settlement with East Pakistan, but that's beyond that point. The Indians will never accept that.
Neither well, but that wouldn't be, no, the Russians will. That's the interesting thing in the Brezhnev letter. The Brezhnev letter says the negotiations would start at the point at which they were interrupted on March 25th, 1970. At that point, East Pakistan was part of Pakistan. And if we could get the Soviets to state that as their idea of a settlement, if we make a joint... No, in the letter. Now, if you and Brezhnev could make a joint declaration, the way I see this thing evolving, if we get Yahya aboard by tomorrow morning, and the time factor works for us, there could be a joint appeal by you and Brezhnev along these three lines. If the Indians reject it, then we go to the United Nations Security Council and get, this time the Soviets have to support us in the Security Council because it's a joint. And it's, so then we've got the Indians at a disadvantage. And we'll have separated the Soviets from the Indians to some extent. If the Indians accept it, then what will happen? First of all, we'll then save West Pakistan for the time being. And if the Indians...
The Indians will stop, there will be a ceasefire. But the Indians will stay in East Pakistan.
Well, what will happen then is a negotiation between the East Pakistan leaders and the West Pakistan leaders, which will probably lead to the independence of Bangladesh anyway. But it will then be done not by us selling out, but by Yahya agreeing to it.
All right.
Now, it's a lousy outcome, but we are now talking, Mr. President, of...
Well, it was sort of inevitable.
Of having...
Pakistan, in my opinion, could never be saved. In my opinion, I believe it could never be saved with the way it was going.
I mean, when it's all done, it will...
They're too clumsy, the West Pakistan, to save the day.
When it's all, if we come out of it that way, Mr. President,
if we can say a strong West Pakistan, we'll have accomplished a lot.
We'll have accomplished a lot, and all the bleeders about India will again have been proved wrong. Because after that...
Well, if we ever get the Russians to go with us on this, that could be a watershed in the relations between the two countries. That's why I wish your agreement was here, so you could tell them exactly that.
No, but it's better for this guy because he's got to report it. Dobrynin would have argued with you and tried to fish.
You notice we stopped him. We didn't argue.
Yeah, it would have been harder for Dobrynin to stop Dobrynin. So actually, I think, I told Haig, I thought this was one of your finest hours here because anybody else that I know would have said, the hell with it. We have no chance. We're playing long shots. Why jeopardize the summit? And I think you'll have strengthened the summit when it's all over.
The Russians could come back with a hard-nosed message.
No.
I don't see how they can.
No.
You know, when you really put it in terms of basically a lawyer arguing a case, I made such a strong case of how much was on the plate, how much they were going to risk at such a cheap, small game, that they just can't. I don't see how they could possibly turn it down. If they do, they aren't worth dealing with.
Huh? My every instinct I have tells me they won't turn it down. Every instinct, because basically it accepts their framework. We should get a letter to them tomorrow, sort of summarizing what you said as a formal reply.
Well, can you get something done prepared?
Yeah, I'll have it for you first.
I think we ought to get it off right away to Russia.
But tomorrow morning now, because...
You know, it's an interesting thing how these people are the same. This fellow here, who was incidentally, he is a nice guy, and he hasn't changed one thing. I just think 12 years ago, comes into the diet of a change. Boy, you should see him. He had a change on him. Still got the book. But this fellow went through the same line that Grumenko did about how Brezhnev was a warm-hearted man and a good man and so forth and so on.
Brezhnev has a hell of a lot at stake in this meeting with you, Mr. President.
He wants it to succeed.
The sons of bitches in this country can piss on you as much as they want. Outside this country, you are the world leader right now. I mean, why the hell would Trudeau, who dislikes everything you stand for, who in his style, in his faggy style, is as different from you as two human beings can be? Why does he say it was a fantastic revolutionary concept? First, because it was, of course, well put, but also because he feels he wants to be identified with the leader of the at least the non-communist world.
Yeah. He was hurting with his identification with Kosygin, and he wanted to be identified with America.
Yeah, but he didn't say this about Kosygin, and he couldn't have because his domestic opinion wouldn't.
That's right.
If he had said Kosygin made it a...
Well, that vote of the UN wasn't too bad, too. That had some reflection of this.
That's right. Our liberal establishment is intellectually, it's morally corrupt, but it's also intellectually so totally corrupt. What they're telling you is, in effect, to preside over the rape of an ally to which Kennedy has a commitment. What you are almost certainly going to achieve is the preservation of West Pakistan, which is, it's a tragedy, but...
Well, it was done for...
But we didn't urge him to go into East Pakistan the way he did, and we can't be given the impossible.
One thing I want you to do, Colin mentioned this fact, I want you to take 20, this is an order, $25 million to come out of the Indian money and go to the Indonesians immediately. Now, by God, that is to be done. I want the Indonesians to be, you know, a Muslim country to know that we're their friends. I think that'll have repercussions right away.
Yeah.
Agreed?
Absolutely.
All right. Can you issue that order?
I'll get it done this minute.
Put it up, but what I meant is I'm going to put it up in my name necessarily.
I'm not
screwing around.
No.
think we'll call in the Indian ambassador and tell him that?
Now, Irvin was so shaken, he hardly knew what to say.
Give him the instruction, give him the talking paper to the Indian ambassador. Will you do that? Or what? What are you going to do? I don't know what the hell they're...
Oh, no, he'll now carry it out.
Well, goddamn, it must give it be very easy for me to anybody to tell the Indian ambassador we will not tolerate acquisition of territory.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Well, for Christ's sake, that you've got to say that much. Yeah.
No, we're in.
What else they do, I don't know.
Well, we're getting it.
I'll tell you one thing.
I think we'll be over it by this time next week.
I want to tell you one thing. He's going to feel that I think twice a letter before they allow any inspired leaks to some of my house for a couple of days. Oh, they'll still come, but they can't help but know that whole establishment over there, how I feel about it. I know what they're doing. We're reading damn papers.
I think we're over the hump. My instinct tells me that this is not going to build into a confrontation. These Russians are slobbering all over you. I thought it was essential. We'll have a well-behaved WASAC meeting tomorrow. I hope. First time in 4 weeks. The others aren't so bad. I mean, Packard is fine. Mortar is fine. Packard is fine. Helms is fine.
Yeah. Well, they got the Mortar knows about moving that ship.
Oh, no. We are doing everything that can be done now.
And we're right to move the carrier. We're going to make the move. Christ, move the carrier.
In fact, even if there is a settlement, we should put the force in there just to show we can do it and take it out again.
That's right.
Then no one can accuse us of anything.
Try to move the car, get the planes over, calling in the Indian ambassador. I thought it was good to report to this group, but I just told the Russian minister, you're going to tell him anyway.
No, but this way I don't have to tell him.
Good.
This is even better. This way
I don't have to tell him. I told the Russian.
This way I don't have to tell him.
About to poison our relations. Also, I thought it was, nobody was there was taking it down, but
no, Haig was taking it.
The point that I made, I said, I know the usual line here in these things. It's the diplomatic line. It's to let the dust settle until you no longer see the grave. I said, that's not my policy.
I thought that was powerful. Haig said this was the most powerful statement he's heard you make. It was really strong. You know, if it worked, it will look inevitable.
Sit there, Henry, and link to this group. $2 million authorization. There, you've got that done. Know the difference in authorization and appropriation.
No, McGregor tried that. They do know the difference.
Yeah, McGregor called it.
Huh?
McGregor called the Burry and intimated that, it would be a stronger budget.
He doesn't believe it.
Now, what they want to be able to do is to be able to say that you listened to them and therefore did it. They're not really questioning so much what your budget is. As the origin of this, as I understand it, is that Goldwater said to McGregor that he could handle everything in his questions around the country except the defense budget. And that Goldwater thought this up as a means of being able to say to the conservatives that you listened to them and did it.
Cognizant of a Soviet build-out in it.
These dumb bastards. I know more about it, forgot more than they'll ever know about the Soviet build-out.
It's really a question of how much eyewash you want to do with them. There's no substitute.
Can it be done in 30 minutes?
Yes, sir, because it's just an matter of
what do they want to do? They want to talk to something? Or they want me to talk or what? What is the story?
Well, they're asking us to use them to do that. That's the trouble with it. It's just...
Well, I think what they want to do is to present their case for 10 minutes. I mean, that's the way we should set it up. Then, if you wanted to, you could speak for 5 minutes about your commitment to...
I don't want to get into the numbers and so forth.
And I could give them 5 minutes worth of, without adding numbers to it, what we have done to the defense budget. I mean, what we've done in terms of producing forces, which is what they ought to be interested in.
Well, you said that the defense budgets are increasing.
And, well, we don't have, we can tell them in good conscience, we don't have an absolutely final figure yet.
But they will be here.
But it will be high. It will be, it's substantially above what anyone had recommended originally.
Is it?
Well, it is, but after Laird realized you were going up, of course, he went even beyond you.
Well, in terms of authorization, didn't you bid?
No, I think in terms of application of authority.
It's 82 billion in terms of that.
Well,
in terms of spending, well, that authorization, same thing. But in terms of spending, it's only about 76.
Yeah, but the case I would make to them is that what they ought to be concerned about is the forces, not the level.
Well, also, that 82 means that by the future, the budget's going to be bigger next time. You can't spend the money now anyway.
Yeah. But it's a purely political thing. There's no substantive reason for it.
Barry, if you want to speak, then you want to respond, that would be it. Essentially, be assured that it would prevent the Soviet dominant advantage over the U.S.
God damn it, it's really amazing that this whole government, there's nobody that can assure them on that. What the hell is the matter? Can't Laird reassure them on that?
No, the basic problem is, Mr. President, in both foreign policy and domestic and defense policy.
They don't believe the secretaries?
No.
Jesus Christ. That's ridiculous.
I can't say it has to be.
We could do it. I just need to know how much time they really want. Now, we can't have them come in thinking they're having a half hour and then have to cut them off at the end of a half hour. Now, just what I need an honest answer. Now, if they come at 9:15, do they know I have an appointment at 10:15? Can they finish in 45 minutes?
I'm sure they want to as well. I'm sure they want to.
I don't see any reason why you can't tell them half an hour, but you know them better than I do. Probably takes 45 minutes.
Well, I just don't want it to take an hour. It'll take 45 minutes, it's sure as hell. I know these people, they all talk too much. Yeah, quarter after 9:15. And we'll have to break start at 10. Say that I make it point out that I have an appointment at 9, but I'll cut it short to be in there. They'll be at 9:15 that I...
Well, you have an appointment at 10, let's pack it and order.
Sure.
have some water at the head?
He backs up.
Yeah. Yes, he should say that he's never had a president who's backed him like this.
If you could call Moore and ask him to be there, maybe Packard with him.
Well, not Packard, let's have Moore.
Let's have Moore. Well, then Moore and say, look, here we want the president's backing, so as much as you can. This force level for the future that he's concerned about. It's going to be a boring goddamn
thing. Oh, it's a bore.
Sorry, Christ. This is ridiculous. We come to crap. This is a new better. They do the best they can out here. Well, we'll make it 9:15 and try to get the better. Let me ask you this. Could you go over to Paris? Do you think that he will be in a mood to make a deal?
Yes.
maybe we won't try the preliminary.
But my suggestion,
Is there any other way to make it?
He doesn't want his man to pay a present because he's a foreign office man. But he says, if you want to call me in, he'd be delighted. That's how he put it to Watson. But he doesn't want to set it up as two and two because he doesn't trust his own man enough.
Right.
And I've talked to Connolly about it. I could present the German issue to him in a way that would make him very tempted to settle it.
Is there a way you could talk to him before I see him?
Yes.
And the Azores, get my point.
Well, look, you have a meeting with Caetano on Friday night.
Yeah.
On Sunday night when we arrive.
Will he be here there then?
He will be there then.
Could you pass a message to Pompidou that I have a confidential communication that I would like for you to pass on to him prior to our meeting the next day? And then you go call me and chat with him and sort of feel this thing out and see whether this deal could be cut. I think that's the best way to do it. It doesn't give him as much notice.
Right.
And then say nothing. And you and Tom Connolly can talk about exactly how to present the deal.
Let's do
it. How's that sound to you?
That's the best way.
Yeah. And if he'll see you any time of the night, he'll say that the president, I've sent a message from me to him, you know, and the message from the president to him, I thought about it just as a private communication from me directly on a very personal basis that he would like to discuss prior to our meeting. Could he see you? I would appreciate it if you could see him for 30 minutes.
Easily done. I don't know when he's arriving, but it must be within an hour of you.
Well, and he doesn't...
he'll see me. If not, I'll see him first thing in the morning.
First thing in the morning before the meeting.
So I will either see him for breakfast or something like that, or I'll see him the night before.
You know, Henry, those state people really deserve hearing what I said to them in there. It's really unconscionable for the President of the United States to pick up the news day after day after day and read how the State Department bureaucracy is pissing on them. Particularly when I said, now listen, none of you were elected. You know,
I said none of you were elected.
I was.
And when you, after all, have an unbelievable record for being right. It isn't that you've been wrong.
I'm not too much.
Well, in foreign policies, we ask ourselves, it sounds conceited, but you haven't made a significant mistake. What would we do differently?
You know your boss, they think.
No, the one mistake we made for which we paid a long time is one that they think is a great achievement. It's not to hit Korea.
Oh!
If we had murdered Korea then, that would have sent such shockwaves.
It was a terrible mistake. Do you remember when we sat here and argued with Rogers and Laird and you were shaking like hell?
But for the president in his second month to go against his own cabinet.
Knowing them all how they are now, I should have done.
But when I look back on it now, it's the only thing that I would feel we might do differently today. But as I look over the other things, I don't really think if we could play it all over again, we'd do things so very differently. I don't see what we could have done much differently.
You know, I'll bet you that wire to Moscow is coming right at the moment.
Oh. We'll have an answer to that tomorrow. Saturday morning at the latest.
Well, I was conciliatory, though, Henry. I said, as far as this deal is concerned, all we ask is restrain the Indians. Let's have a ceasefire. They must have a political settlement. As a matter of fact, it was his deal that we were talking about.
Well, there were a few hookers in there. The way you put it, you said talk to the Awami League.
Yeah.
And the way they put it was, it has to start where it stopped on March 25th, which really means freeing Muji.
I see.
On the other, but I would figure, Mr. President, that's not what we get into in the first phase. In the first place, we should state a few general principles. The major thing is to defang the Indians now. The Pakistanis have lost 80% of their POL. They've bombed Karachi completely. The Pakistanis are going to collapse in 2 weeks. It's what if we can save West Pakistan, it will be an extraordinary achievement, which is not warranted by the situation. Because if state plays its usual game, it will send a message to Delhi, it will send a message to Islamabad, all of which plays into the Indian hands, just as our strategy the first week of the operation did. They then take 5 days to reply. The reply will be inconclusive.
You know, another point that state needs to get pounded into his goddamn head is that we do not determine our policy around here solely on the basis of how many people are on one side.
Yeah. And how well, you made that point.
And how many, and whether a country is a democracy or whether it is not a democracy.
But that's another point.
My God, we just don't do it that way. I mean, it doesn't make, an evil deed is not made good by the form of government that executes the deed, Henry. I mean, like Bobbin said, that the most horrible wars in history have been fought between the Christian nations of Western Europe. Yeah. Right? Does that make them right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, sir. No, sir.
And between the governments prior to World War I were all more or less the same, with the exception of the Tsar. I mean, that German emperor wasn't all that powerful. I mean, they had a pretty democratic government. He sort of strutted around and made it look as if he were powerful.
Well, I hope it works. I hope it works in the Russian side, because I just can't believe Russia can hear this being said. And I think your hunch is right. Saying it to this guy was just an accident. But saying it to him is very important. He could see that I was fair, I was conciliatory, but tough as hell.
Yeah.
And he saw that too. Oh. I said there would be a confrontation.
And you listed all the things you were willing to do. It was a masterpiece. It was the subtlety. And then you were in effect saying you want to jeopardize European security, Middle East, solve all of that for what? And you said there'd be a confrontation.
Okay. Also pointing out that we had a treaty with Pakistan just as they had one with India. That's rough talk to them now. They know damn well about it. They had an end. He just assumes we might do something.
Mr. President, if this were a key country to them, they might challenge you. But why should they run this risk to back you down? First of all, no one knows you've threatened.
No. I told him, you know, I said, I'm not threatening anything.
And besides, you can do a lot of things. I mean, if the principle gets established that the stronger country can prevail with the backing of another country, we could unleash the Israelis and kill the Egyptians. Every time we've played them this way, it's come out all right. And they know, they said, you've just done too many unpredictable things. You know, I think this was a great day.
We should see.
We may lose on it. We were certain to lose the other way. We may win this way.
Well, we tried. Something, the Russians cannot ignore this. They just can't let the...
Oh, no. You'll get an answer within by Sunday morning.
The Russians, I think, the real question is whether they will just lean on the Indians now.
That's what it amounts to. And anything we get in this connection is money in the bank. A, in the sense of defeating, of protecting Pakistan, but even more importantly, it will teach the Indians that there are bigger games than... The Indians know they've got the Pakistanis where they've wanted them.
Sure.
So if we can stop an Indian onslaught on West Pakistan now, the Indians will consider that being thwarted.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're going to be thwarted in another way. Now, I will not listen to any suggestions of that aid be restored.
No matter what happens, Mr. President, that is what we have to be sure.
That I will not listen to. Now, these bastards have asked for it. They're not going to get it. Now, I think we're going to have to play that game. They chose Russia. Now, they go, let Russia take them?
That's what I would do. Absolutely. What I would do with the Indians, Mr. President, is keep them in the deep freeze until after your election. And after you're elected, they'll come to you hand in hand. No, no, but then, I don't think Indian animosity can hurt you if there's no war. I don't know which American likes Indians, except those intellectuals who are against you. Yeah, but they're against you anyway.
I thought, Mr. President, any commission is going to have to talk to it. Will they?
Sure.
That is, that's not going to happen.